Hare Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Granta Swamine Tanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesa Sunyavari Paskripti Devitarane. Very good. Omakina Tamilandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Sumilitan Jaina Tasmai Svigira Venama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dandati Sapandantika Vansa Kaputubhyascha Kripasindu Vayubhita Pratikaram Pravinebhyo Vaishnavena Namo Namah. Very, very difficult. Better said, it is impossible for a soul, a person, caught within the net of Maya, limited in his vision, to basically his senses, and that which, whatever knowledge he can derive from his senses. It is impossible for us to understand about the absolute truth. Vedanti tat tat vidas tat famyaskanam adayam brahmiti paramatmiti bhagavaniti sabhite. By understanding that ultimately everything is non-different, or everything is also decomposed of spiritual substance, or non-different from the Supreme, we can understand the platform of the absolute truth, where one identifies everything as spiritual, and that is called Brahman realization. And in that realization, there is a complete absence of all suffering. But there is a cost to that realization, and the cost is that one must give up one's sense of individuality. And then above that, in the realization of the absolute truth, one can understand the form and qualities of the Lord, but without understanding his personality, and that is called the Paramatma realization. And that realization, to understand that we are under the Paramatma's control and under his protection, brings great peace with individuality. But above that is the realization, or the full realization, the full experience of our relationship with Bhagavan, or the person who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person. Without knowledge from the transcendental realm, what can we understand about the personality of the unknown Supreme? What can we understand about that? Nothing, practically speaking, other than understanding that what we see in this world is a reflection of that spiritual world, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead is dominant, the dominant personality. So to find out about the personality of Godhead, or even the personalities of the different aspects or personalities, or different aspects or incarnations of the Lord, we have to consult Shastra. We have to consult religious writings by realized souls who have realized the truth, and therefore by putting that truth they have realized, which is in harmony with the the previous authorities and other scriptures, we can understand the very nature of the personality of Godhead, which otherwise is impossible to understand. Otherwise, unless we understand it properly, we will mistake it as ordinary. So today is Balaram's appearance day, and even the concept of the absolute truth or the permanent expansion of the absolute truth, having a birthday or an appearance day, is impossible to understand, because by definition, practically speaking, the absolute is eternal. Brahman or Krishna or Balaram is eternal. So what is the nature of their appearance, their birth? And the answer is that janma karma trame divyam evam yovati tatvata. If one understands the transcendental pastime nature of the appearance of the Lord, then that in and of itself, his janma and karma, his appearance and activities, that in and of itself is enough, sufficient to free one from the cycle of birth and death. So let us hear, please open a little bit. So let us hear, first of all, about some of the potency or some of the tattva about who Lord Balaram is. The primary source that we have for this is the Caitanya Charitamrita. There are several verses in Caitanya Charitamrita that describe in reference to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, describes the nature of Lord Balaram. So, because Balaram and Nittai, Balaram hoilo Nittai, like Balaram comes as Nityananda Prabhu. So Caitanya Charitamrita chapter 5 describes, in relationship to Nityananda, describes the characteristics of Lord Balaram and his potency. And it is essential to understand the potency of God, either Krishna or Balaram. It is essential to understand their potency. Otherwise, we will mistake the Supreme Lord when we hear about his activities as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Lord, his activities in his different pastimes. We will mistake them as either material or imaginary, one of the two. Anthropomorphic, that, oh, man is like this, and in his mind he has created a concept of God that is just like him. We will think like that unless we understand the potencies of the Supreme Lord from Shastra. So here in this chapter of Caitanya Charitamrita, it describes that Lord Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. He expands from Krishna, and he is equal to Krishna, practically speaking, in every way. He's unlimitedly powerful as Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. He expands from Krishna for the purpose of assisting Krishna in his pastimes, in his activities. This is so amazing, but on the other hand, it is so natural that the absolute truth has pastimes, ananda maya vyasa. He's full of ecstatic activities and pastimes. Why, we are all longing for pleasure in this world. Why is it that Krishna does not also desire pleasure? Or we could say in a more appropriate way, because Krishna desires pleasure naturally, because he's full of ecstasy, therefore naturally we also desire pleasure. But we are looking in the wrong place for our pleasure, and we should be looking for our pleasure in reference and in relationship with him, and getting and helping, assisting him in attaining pleasure. And that desire to assist Krishna or to give pleasure to Krishna is the natural consciousness of every living entity, and now that consciousness is covered with selfishness. And as long as we live in a selfish world of our own mind, we cannot be happy. When we adopt a serving mood, we improve our happiness. And when that serving mood is directed towards the Supreme Lord, Krishna, then the happiness increases unlimitedly. Selfishness simply brings us misery and feeling victimized by our circumstances. A serving mood brings us happiness. It is natural. The serving even towards our family member that brings more happiness. To our country it brings more happiness. What to speak of when that serving mood is expanded to include everything through a loving serving mood towards Krishna, God, the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth. So his Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. And even Balaram, his prime desire is to serve Krishna. It is completely natural for everyone, everything in existence to serve Krishna. There is such an exquisite taste of serving Krishna. It is what the soul longs for. Even Balaram, the primary Vishnu-Tattva expansion of Krishna, he also simply desires to serve Krishna. And to serve Krishna, as Balaram, he serves Krishna in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. That's the most intimate service to Krishna that he performs. And then he serves Krishna in four different other ways as well, as he through his expansions of Karnadaksha, Vishnu Mahavishnu, who is the expansion of Mahasankarsan. This is a little technical, but Mahavishnu is so powerful. The unlimited universes emanate from the pores of his skin. And then he, as Gavadaksha Vishnu, but Balaram expands again through Mahavishnu as the Lord who enters into each and every universe. Because without the glance of Krishna as Gavadaksha Vishnu, there is nothing that can exist within the universe. Nothing can go on. Everything occurs by his potency. He is the soul of all souls. And as his expansion, he's the super soul of the universe, is Gavadaksha Vishnu. And Gavadaksha Vishnu expands again, or we could say Balaram expands again as Kiradaksha Vishnu, who his potency maintains and supports all in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, the alive and the not alive, is all supported by Kiradaksha Vishnu. Even we are supported by the Supreme Lord as Kiradaksha Vishnu. Even we do not rest upon our own independent energy. It is simply arrogance to think that I am doing anything in this world. We are so limited. Our heart doesn't beat by our energy, our desire. Our breathing doesn't come. We cannot move anything. We are tiny. We are insignificant. This is reality. Unfortunately, nowadays, no one wants to think in this way. I am tiny and insignificant. We all prefer to think that we are great and quite significant. And the result of that is frustration at every step. Because we cannot fight reality. Oh, we can fight reality, but we know who's going to win. Reality wins 100% of the time. So then, as a fourth expansion, or a fifth expansion, if we count the Mahasankarsan, Balaram, Mahasankarsan, then Karanadaksha Vishnu, then Gaurabhadaksha Vishnu, and then Kiradaksha Vishnu, who is in every atom, between every atom, in everyone's heart. And then as a final expansion, he expands as Sesha, who all the universes are supported by him. So I'd like to read a little from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a little bit, that describes Anantashesha. That Anantashesha is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. It is so ironic that we all attempt to avoid service to Lord Krishna, not avoiding those people in this room, but this is what's going on in the material world. Everyone is trying to avoid serving Krishna and trying to become the center of things themselves. So all the different incarnations of God, even Krishna himself wants to taste the sweetness of service to Krishna. But we try to avoid it. So with its thousands of mouths, Ananta Shesha sings the glories of Lord Krishna. But although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. That means if we also would take up that service of singing the glories of Krishna, we would never reach an end, because Krishna's qualities and glories are unlimited. And that is one of the prime elements of bhakti. Bhakti yoga, the process of attaining Krishna, is singing always of his glories. So Ananta Shesha sings with his unlimited mouths for an unlimited time, and he still doesn't reach the end of the glories of Krishna. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. He serves Lord Krishna, assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread and thorn, and even the dhams, the holy dhams, such as Vrindavan Dham. They are existing. They are composed of the Sandini Shakti of the Lord, which is really Lord Balaram. This is his service, to provide a ground for Krishna, a platform, that's the word I was looking for, a platform for Krishna to enjoy his pastimes upon. See, Vrindavan Dham, that is also a service of Lord Balaram. His residence, his sacred thread and throne. He is thus called Lord Shesha. Shesha means unlimited. For he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. So that Shesha is just a part of a part of a part, whose the universes are being resting upon his hands. Just a part of Lord Balaram, a part of a part, an expansion of an expansion. So how powerful is Lord Balaram? Oops. And then there's another little section I'd like to read, is why, about how Lord Balaram, why Lord Balaram came as the elder brother of Krishna. Just a few verses on this point. Because prior to Krishna's himself coming, Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam, the incarnation of the Lord Ramachandra came, Krishna's Ramachandra, and as described here, the activities of Lord Ram were full of difficulties. Now this is such an amazing concept, that the Supreme Lord's activities can be full of suffering, but his sufferings are ecstatic. At this point, we would like to announce that everyone should turn off their mobile phones and we'll get it all over at once. Either that or change your rings to the mooing of cows or something. Thank you. Consider that. If you're the only one in Perth, when your mobile phone goes off, it will sound like this. No. And you know it's for you. So Krishna, the pastimes of Lord Ram were full of difficulties and suffering. Lakshman, the younger brother of Ram, of his own accord, tolerated that suffering. As a younger brother, he cannot stop Lord Ram from his resolution to engage in those pastimes. So he remained. So he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. When Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Sri Rama and Sri Lakshman, who were plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram respectively, entered into him at the time of Krishna and Balaram's appearance. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as younger brother and elder brother, but in the Shastra, in the scriptures, they are described as the original personality of Godhead and his expansion. So, quite amazing, the concept of the pastimes of the Lord. Everything Krishna does is ecstatic, yet, from our point of view, to instruct us, sometimes there appears to be suffering, even in the pastimes of the Lord. So Krishna's pastimes and Balaram's pastimes are quite amazing. When Balaram, who was Krishna's first wife? Do you know? Okay, maybe Sri Radharaman can whisper in your ear. Who was Krishna's first wife? Who? Rukmini Devi. And there's a wonderful pastime of that. Rukmini, just by hearing about Krishna, she fell fully in love with him. And she wrote Krishna a letter, please kidnap me, because her elder brother, whose name was Rukmini, had arranged for her to marry Shishupal, an enemy, a vowed enemy of Krishna, and she had fallen completely in love with Krishna. And she, of course, she is the goddess of fortune herself. And then Krishna received the message that she had given her heart to him, and he came and kidnapped her. And Rukmini became furious, and he brought his armies to attack Krishna. And Krishna, of course, defeated Rukmini, and then he cut off his mustaches and made blood flow from his and embarrassed him terribly. Because one cannot, this is something that we should take to heart, one should not fight with Krishna. Because one will lose and only end up very embarrassed. Rather, one should find out what Krishna's desire is and cooperate with it. So, after some time, Krishna and Rukmini were married, and then somehow or another, in an amazing way, their first son was named. I hear it somewhere. Pradyumna, and Pradyumna married. He married one of the daughters of Rukmini, who was an enemy of Krishna. So it is described in the Bhagavatam, or the descendants of Krishna being described, as a classic description of a pastime of Balaram. Because Balaram had the spirit in this incarnation, especially he had a real spirit of a Kshatriya, a warrior. And where's Linda? What's the expression again? Pride goeth before destruction. Then a haughtiness comes before a fall, something like that. So Balaram, all pride actually belongs to Krishna and Balaram. It is rightfully theirs. And when Balaram gets angry at someone, that comes, his pride, when it's evoked, his Kshatriya spirit of prava is evoked, it comes before somebody's destruction. And that's what we're going to hear about. So, the question is asked about the, how is it possible that Krishna Sampajumnya, father of the greatly powerful Aniruddha, and the wife in the womb of Rukmavati, the daughter of Rukmi, O king, Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Prakrit, this took place while they were living in the city of Bojakata, which is the city of Rukmi. My dear king, the sons and grandsons of Lord Krishna's children numbered in the tens of millions, 16,000 mothers gave rise to this dynasty. And King Prakrit asked, how could Rukmi give his daughter to his enemy's son, Krishna's son? After all, Rukmi had been defeated by Lord Krishna in battle, and he was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Please explain this to me, O learned one, how these two inimical parties became united through marriage. Sukadeva Goswami said, at her Swayamvara ceremony, the ceremony in which Rukmavati herself was to choose her husband, she chose Pradyumna, who was the re-embodiment of Cupid. He was so beautiful. Then, although he fought alone on a single chariot, Pradyumna defeated the assembled kings in battle and took her away. Actually, it describes how he was, that Rukmi knew that his daughter wanted to marry and would only marry Pradyumna. And it was such an embarrassment for him, he could not arrange that marriage. So therefore, instead of arranging the marriage, he arranged a Swayamvara so that she could choose her own husband, and that way he would indirectly combine these two, because it was unavoidable. Rukmi always remembered his enmity to Lord Krishna, who had insulted him. In order to please his sister, he sanctioned his daughter's marriage to his nephew. O king, and there's some more explanations about this. And now it describes about the marriage ceremony of Rukmavati and Pradyumna. Thank you. So Queen Rukmini, Balaram, Lord Krishna and several of his sons, headed by Sambra and Pradyumna, went to the city of Bojakata. After the wedding, a group of arrogant kings, headed by the king of Kalinga, told Rukmi, you should defeat Balaram at dice. He is not expert at dice. O king, even though he's not expert at playing dice, he's still quite addicted to it. These are the pastimes of Balaram. Thus advised, Rukmi challenged Balaram and began a gambling match with him. In that match, Lord Balaram first accepted a wager of 100 gold coins, then 1,000, then 10,000, and Rukmi won this first round. And the king of Kalinga laughed loudly at Lord Balaram as he lost. And he showed Balaram his teeth. You lost. But Balaram could not tolerate this because he had the spirit of a Kshatriya. This was this incarnation. Next, Rukmi accepted a debt of 100,000 coins, which Lord Balaram won. But Rukmi tried to cheat, declaring, I'm the winner. And shaking with anger like the ocean on a full moon day, handsome Lord Balaram, his naturally reddish eyes, even redder in his anger, accepted a wage of 100 million gold coins. And Lord Balaram fairly won this wager also. But Rukmi again resorted to cheating, and he declared, I have won, I have won. Let all these witnesses, which were all his friends, the other kings who were in enmity with Balaram and Krishna, they can all testify to the fact that I have won. Just then, a voice in the sky declared, Balaram has fairly won this wager. Rukmi is surely lying.
lived by the wicked kings, however, Rukmi he ignored the divine voice. In fact, destiny itself was urging Rukmi on, and thus he ridiculed Lord Balaram as follows, which is another thing one shouldn't do. "You coward boys, you coward men who wander about the forest, know nothing about dice, playing with dice and sporting with arrows, only for kings, not for the likes like you." This insulted the Rukmi and ridiculed the kings, and all the kings started laughing. And the king of Kalinga was laughing and showing his teeth. Lord Balaram was provoked to anger. He became angry. One could say he became very angry. In the midst of the auspicious wedding ceremony, he raised his club and struck Rukmi dead. The king of Kalinga, who had laughed at Lord Balaram and had shown his teeth, he tried to run away, but the furious lord quickly seized him on his tenth step and knocked out all his... Yes. Tormented by Lord Balaram's club, the other kings fled in fear, their arms, thighs, and heads broken, and their bodies drenched in blood. Because how could Balaram become angry? This is the mission of Krishna, the mission of Krishna and Balaram, to rid the world of the demonic forces. Yada yada hidamasya glanir bhagati bharata. Another story of Balaram. Because Balaram didn't want to take part in the battle of Kurukshetra because he was affectionate and friendly to both Duryodhana and Yudhisthira, and either one of them saw him, they would ask him to be on their side. So instead, he didn't want to participate, so he just went on pilgrimage. He wanted to remain neutral. So, and then at the same time while Balaram was going on pilgrimage, Krishna killed the last demons that he had to kill in this world, which were Dantavakra and Vidurnath. And then Krishna, his mission of killing the asuras in this world finished, he put aside his weapons completely. But Balaram had two more to kill, even though he was on pilgrimage. He went to Namasharanya, and all the sages, when he entered the arena of the sages, all the sages, except for the person sitting on the speaker's asana, everyone stood up because Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he had entered. And the purpose of all scriptures, all shastra, is to know Krishna and Balaram, practically speaking. So, but the speaker of the Bhagavatam, whose name was Ramaharshan, he didn't stand up, even though he was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. He didn't stand up. And, Everyone was worshiping him, and Ramaharshan, he didn't even fold his hands when Balaram came out of respect. He just sat there, "I am the speaker," did not respect the Lord. So Lord Balaram became extremely, yes, upon seeing how this member of the sutra class, he was born out of, from a Brahmin mother and a Kshatriya father, mixed caste, that he had failed to stand up. He failed to bow down, or he didn't even join his palms in respect. And also, he was sitting above all the learned Brahmins. So Balaram became very angry. Because this fool, born from an improperly mixed marriage, sits above all these Brahmins, and even above me, who is the protector of all religion, he deserves to die. Because, of course, Balaram sees differently than we see. We think, oh, how could that happen? How could that happen? But Balaram sees the eternality of the soul. He sees from the eternal platform, and he sees this situation is not favorable for a person. Although he's a disciple of the divine sage Vyas, and although he has thoroughly learned the scriptures, including the logics of religious duties and the epic histories and the Puranas, all his studies and all his religiousness has not produced good qualities in him. Rather, his study of Shastra is like an actor studying his part, for he is not self-controlled, he is not humble, and he vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, although he has failed to conquer his own mind. The very purpose of my descent into this world is to kill such hypocrites who pretend to be religious. Indeed, they are the most sinful rascals. Although Lord Balaram had stopped killing the impious, Ramaharshan's death was inevitable. Thus having spoken, how did Lord Balaram kill Rupi? With his club. Now he has a new way to kill. Because Balaram can go like, God can just desire when someone is completely finished. So he doesn't need a club or anything like that. But Balaram, understanding that Ramaharshan had to leave this world, he killed him by picking up a small piece of kusa grass and touching him with his tip. And then there's more in the pastime. And then Balaram continues on his pilgrimage. And then he reaches Kurukshetra, and he sees it's just at the time when where Bhima is fighting with Duryodhana. Just at the very end, Balaram just arrives at that time. And it's, the whole thing is going to be over, and he comes, Balaram comes, and Krishna has to arrange something that Balaram, because Balaram is somewhat a little partial to Duryodhana. So Krishna has to arrange something so Balaram leaves. So Balaram does leave. And then, anyway, the pastimes of Lord Balaram are really amazing. He fights, he's dancing with the gopis. These are pastimes of Krishna enjoying. And a gorilla comes and tries to disturb the pastimes and acts in a completely inappropriate way, and he's so powerful. And Balaram, they fight, and Balaram smashes him with his fist and kills him. And then there's another. Balaram is so powerful. He's so powerful because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's so powerful that if we can just get a little bit of his mercy, then the most amazing thing can happen. Do you know what the most amazing thing is? He can kill this demon with his fist. He can kill this demon with a blade of straw. He can kill that demon with his club. What's even more amazing than that? If we can get a little of his mercy, he can clean our hearts and give us some love for Krishna. Huh? No, not merge with the God Krishna, but develop love for the God Krishna. That's even better. Much, much, much better. Merge with him in love, just like the lover and the beloved, they feel themselves one in interest. By Lord Balaram's mercy, that can happen to each and every one of us, which gives us something to pray for. Cleansing of the heart, and awarding love for Krishna, loving service, not even love for Krishna, but service to the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. So there was just one little final thing I would just like to read here. I'll just be a moment, Prabhu. Okay, why don't we stop here so we continue with the program on time? Okay. Yeah? Okay, one more little story then. Are you sure? This is short, I think.
7:40. Festival time, no problem.
Okay. No problem then. 7:47. No. Just one short verse. Countless pastimes were performed by mighty Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose mystic power makes him appear to be as if a human being. All the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, Balaram Prabhu Ki Jai.